need you, Holy Spirit. This country needs you. Lord, we pray, we cannot pray against the end time prophecies, but also we ask that you would give the church grace and boldness and confidence to make it through these hard times. We ask that you would give the president, the senators, the congressmen and women, everybody in power, Lord God, I pray for them. I also pray for Haiti. I ask that you would give the government there the ability to, you know, the Bible says to pray for those in power because our well-being depends on the land we live in. So God, we trust you. We trust you. We trust you. We thank you for everyday food, for the daily bread you give us. We thank you for our daily bread. And we once again acknowledge that you are the source. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Yes. And once again, in the name of Kendra and my children, I thank you guys for your gifts. We have moved. We're still in the process. God is good, you know. And what they say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But then the thing is, this is not just a saying. Those of us who have experienced it, we know what we're talking about. See, that's what makes the difference between experiencing the goodness of God and then people that say, oh, God is good. And all the time, God is good. No, God is good all the time. I know it. Even this morning, he was good. You know, a short testimony. If any of you have a testimony, please let me see your hands. We want to hear your testimony. You know, you think, well, what is it for to buy a futon? Is that how, what box? Is that what you call it? A futon? We're like, all right, we want a futon. And I'm like, in the past week, I realized the Lord's been, not only in past week, but man, I'm realized I'm going back to, I'm tracing my steps. I'm like, God, you know what? I'm going to trust you with my life because you know best. The process is never fun because sometimes we go through deep valleys. But I tell you, the end result in following God will always be good. Okay? So, Kendra, this morning, she says, yeah, I find something on Marketplace or somewhere for $75. Okay. She says, well, that will work for us. I said, okay. I'm on my way to church. Person just live in Pine Bridge or something like that on London Bridge. Road. I said, yeah, I can string and check it out, see if it's good. Then you can pick it up. I went in there, talked to the people. Not on my way in, I saw their mail. Not their mail, their newspaper. Picked the newspaper up, you know, show up at the door. Good morning, you know, it's a good morning. Give them their paper. The guy said, yeah, talking. We start talking. Tell them about me, myself, and what we do, you know, how long we've been in the area. And then I'm talking, he's like, yeah, everything's good. We checked the food and it looks good. It's like, yeah, my wife's going to come and pick it up. And he's like, you know what? You don't have to pay me. I'm like, really? Why? You know, I told him, I said, hey, I'm a pastor. I just moved in the community. I pastor Lynchtown Community Church. Great things are happening. If you're not going to church, come and check us out. And he's like, yeah, I believe they're God people. But, you know, right there, God gave me favor. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless me. May he cause me to walk in his favor. And I believe every day he directs our steps. You know, so I live by faith. I walk by faith. I didn't ask him. I was ready to pay for it. But then he's looking at me. He's like, you know what? And then him and his wife, he didn't even talk about it. She was just like, oh, yeah. Yeah, sure, you know, hey, sure, why not, you know, and he's like, God bless you. I said, yeah, I receive it, and God bless you back. Amen. Because there is more blessing to those who are giving than to those that are receiving, you know, so, I told you, I'm very excited for the church. In the past couple of weeks, I have been talking about holiness. And last week, I had Bruce came in to preach on holiness. Next week, I'm having John Wilcox, and he's going to do a study on the temple for us to understand the principles of the temple according to the Old Testament versus the New Testament. Then you will understand how important, I mean, man, God doesn't dwell in homes and built by bricks anymore. He built, he lives here. Amen. Guys, God lives in me. You know, and he loves it. Of course, God doesn't live anywhere that's dirty. So that's why we invite him in to clean the temple. The Holy Spirit comes, the blood of Jesus cleans, and then gives us a purpose and a reason to live a holy life. You know, a lot of people think living a holy life is a difficult thing. No, it's not. It's so easy to live a holy life once you surrender. Once you surrender to the will of God, it is easy. Paul even said, for now, it's not me living, it's Jesus Christ living through me. So I know some of you might be thinking, man, why is he talking about holiness? Remember, I spent a month talking about the Holy Spirit, and I'm not done. You know, some of you might be thinking, yeah, I'm talk about the Holy Spirit a lot because I'm from the Caribbean. But no, it's not that. No, when I read the Bible, when I read the book of Acts, I realized the disciples, they had nothing if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. And anybody, any churches that not being led by the Holy Spirit, now I'm talking about the Spirit of God. I'm talking about the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life. I'm talking about the Spirit Jesus spoke about in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. He said, I must go so Father can send you the Parakletos in Greek, the counselor, the guide. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you will be clothed. You will receive the Holy Spirit. You remember that analogy I give you one time with the silk wag? You remember? I got somebody wet here. You will remember that. Heidi and Aaron will remember that. See, the Holy Spirit, that's what it does. He came and soaked us. He came and make us influencers in this world. You know, in the past couple of weeks, there's a quote I shared with you, and I want to say it again this morning to remind you. The quote was from Mark Diener. He said, the church is not a growing number of people, meaning the church is not a building filled of people. Because really, I'm not looking for that. My focus is the Holy Spirit. I started a church with 16 people, and God took me out of it when it's like 300 people. I say God took me out of it because there are certain things, if God would give you the option, you wouldn't leave it. Sometimes he's got to take you out to make things, just like what happened in Acts chapter 8 with Philip. You know, Philip is experiencing revival, and all of a sudden, the Bible says the Holy Spirit took Philip. Philip disappeared. Great experience. So I believe, like Diener said, the church is not a growing number of people, but a number of people growing. It's a number of people growing in intimacy with the Lord. It's a number of people growing in intimacy and fear of the Lord. It's a number of people growing in reverence. It's a number of people growing in purity. Oh, my goodness. In love. It's a number of people that understand how to love each other. How to, you know, the Bible says love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle. You know, it's a number of people growing in love. Well, you start at home, right? If I'm like I'm married, I start with my wife. I love her, I cherish her, I respect her, I honor her. You know, and she does the same thing to me. You know, she loves me, she respects me, she honors me. She, we do life together. You know, I might not understand her sometimes. Like this week, we had a scenario this week. You know, good stuff. So she's talking. I was just like, man, she's kind of getting to me. I'm like, all right. So she's talking, and then I start making fun of what she's saying. Yeah, 20 years. Been 20 years since we married. You think I'd learn already? But if I talk to some of you that have been married longer than that, I have a lot to learn yet, right? So right away, she told me, she says, she started getting upset. She said, you know, I don't like when you do that. I don't like, if I'm telling you something, don't make fun of it. You know, it's like, come on, come on, honey. You start laughing about what she's saying. But she's expressing her heart. So even if I don't understand, of course, you know what they said. I don't know if you guys read this book, Men's is from Mars and the Ladies are from Venice. It's like we're from two different worlds. But thank God for the gospel, because we can understand each other through the kingdom. You know, so then I started making fun of her, and right away, you know, she told me, and then I caught myself, thank God. I realized that's not good. And then I told her, I'm sorry, baby. I said, well, I don't understand. I should not have said that. I was really making fun of her. Come on. It's like, you know, somebody tells you something, and for you it's not a big deal. And you're like, well, not a big deal. What's not a big deal for you? But for them it's a big deal. So the worst, the right thing to do in walking in love is by, you know what, I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. But I'm not going to say that's stupid. That's stupid. That's not kind. You know, I don't understand. Well, I'm sorry, honey. Yeah, I should not have said that. Yeah, bad pastor. Bad pastor. You know, I'm her pastor too, so I'm her friend, her pastor, and her husband, her boyfriend, and everything else. You know, so we are a number of people growing, and I love it because Jesus is not looking for the crowd. You remember what happened in John? Guys, what a story in John. Jesus gave 5,000 people food. That's amazing. You have a leader. He does miracles. He raised the dead. And now, he just had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, 2 fish, and fed 5,000 men, not counting the women. I mean, this is a guy to follow, right? This is a church to go to. But then all of a sudden, Jesus start talking. Well, guys, guess what? If you don't eat my flesh, if you don't drink my blood, if you don't deny yourself, if you like yourself too much, you won't make it. And right away, the Bible says, everybody left. Can you imagine? At the time Jesus feed, or right after he fed over 5,000 people, I would assume, when we really study the numbers, I would assume his church had about 9,000 people. I mean, in nowadays, you would assume a leader like Jesus Christ would have a church, 10,000, 12,000 people. Great stuff, huh? But then here he comes, you got to eat my blood, you got to take up your cross, you got to forget about yourself, you got to repent from your sins. The Bible says right away everybody left except for 12 people. Then Jesus even asked him. Jesus like, well, what about you guys? Why are you staying here? The gospel was never easy. The gospel was never appealing. Jesus, the way he presented the kingdom's gospel, it was never like, well, you come, God will bless you. You come and everything will go fine. No, it's not like that. Serving Christ is not for wimp. Is that a word? Wimp? Wimp? Yeah, like, give me another word for wimp. Coward. Yes. Serving Christ is not for coward. Oh, yeah, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, what come? Those, only the violent ones will make it. Only the violent one will make it. If you're a coward, come on, you can't make it. Sometimes, let's say, there are certain dimensions you need to get and you want. You have to fast for 3 days. You think if you're a coward, you're going to stay without food for 3 days? I mean, sometimes you look at somebody else, you're like, man, how come they have such intimacy? Intimacy doesn't come cheap. A marriage that's working, a friendship that's working, doesn't come cheap. Because both people have to call each other, chat with each other, maybe go out for coffee, go to the beach together, you know, find common interests. So healthy relationship doesn't come cheap. So the church is not a growing number of people, but a number of people growing in intimacy, fear of the Lord, reverence, purity, and all those things. I could preach a sermon on all those things. Intimacy, fear, reverence, fear of the Lord, reverence, purity, love. But I just touched a little bit about love. Acceptance, you accept the person where they're at. Now, acceptance is not tolerance. When you accept somebody, you accept their point of view. And you see how sad it has become? It's like, if I don't have the same point of view with Dave, nowadays, we become enemies. It shouldn't be that way. It was never meant to be that way. You can love red. I love blue. I don't know if you can tell. I wear lots of blue. I'm a simple guy. Blue, give me blue, all right? I don't need green. I love blue. But anyway, if you don't like blue, you don't have to look down on me. It's okay if you don't like Jesus. But at the end, we'll see who really needed you. You know, it's your life. But it's okay if I'm passionate about Christ. And if you don't, I don't have to judge you. It's okay if I don't want to have a TV. It's fine if you want to have a TV in each room and even one in your garage. You know? That doesn't mean you're materialist or whatever. That's between you and the Lord. And I believe that's why we have fallen away from the kingdom's gospel. And people, they don't want anything to do with the church. Acceptance, forgiveness. We forgive because we have been forgiven. We sang it this morning, right? I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. I've been forgiven. So therefore, I forgive people. You know, Mark Gunger said it. Anybody that doesn't want to forgive somebody else, they're like someone who is drinking poison with the expectation for the other people to drop dead. It's like so clear. If I have bitterness against someone, bitterness is going to kill me, not the person. Because then you can't sleep. Every time you see that person, you have anxiety. Every time you heard of their name, all your bloods turn to green liquid. Then you start steam start coming out of your ears. You know, it's not good for your health. It's not good. So forgiveness. The church is not a growing number. I took time today to explain this. But it's a number. The church is a number of people growing. And then behind growing, you add a bunch of things. We're growing in self-discipline. You know, we're growing in intimacy, fear of the Lord, reverence, in purity, in love, in acceptance, in honor. Oh, my goodness. Oh, honor. We've lost this culture. And in the kingdom, the kingdom of God is a culture of honor, where we honor each other. And not only we not only honor our kingdom citizen brother and sisters, but we also walk in honoring other people out there. You see, without the holiness of God, sin has no meaning and grace has no point. This you should remember. Without the holiness of God, sin has no meaning And grace has no point. So screaming the name of Christ on Sunday morning and denies him with our action during the week, that's a dangerous thing. Man, I can't wait to get my glasses, Ange. Because then I see here, but then when I do this, you all blurry. I guess I could do that. Appearance of worship. A lot of people, that's what they have, an appearance of worship. But I tell you, unless there is a life that backs up your worship, it's worthless. You can go to church, or I mean, nowadays they have so many great groups, great music, man. It's like some people are even crying during worship. They're like this, which is good because that's a great position. When you kneel down, it's a great position, you know. You're down, face down, hallelujah, whatever the Holy Spirit's doing through your life, you know, it's amazing. Oh, I mean, especially if you've got a photographer, you know, they're taking great pictures because that's it. I've done it. I mean, I've done it. And we will get that. We're working on getting our media working. I mean, if any of you here's got ideas and you want to help, please, we need help. I spent hours trying to figure this thing out, you know, how to do it. So we do need help. And I'm calling those people. God, I need help. I need people that can, I need media people. You know, I need people that knows how to do the cameras, how to tell me what to buy, you know, and so I don't have to figure it out. But anyway, it's amazing when you've got a ministry and people, they know how to express themselves in worship. I mean, you already know me a little bit better now. I love to express myself. I'm not boring. Hey, I don't know. It's people tell me I'm not boring. And I know it's like, if I'm having a bad day, I'm having a bad day. I'm going to tell you I'm having a bad day today. And then we're going to talk about it. And then maybe you pray for me. I'm delivered. But I tell you, I'm not boring. I love life. You know? I'm not sick easy. I don't get fever, cold, thank God. But I'm always like, let's go for it, baby. You know? So I express myself. So when I worship, I do express myself. I like to dance. I like to lift up my hands. I like to express myself. So if I do all these things in my life, and unless my life is backed up by holiness, all these expressions of worship are worthless. I could be crying in worship. Oh, Lord, you're so holy. You didn't know I was an actor, right? You know what I'm saying? I could do all these things. But if I go home and I start chewing my wife, if I go home, I start yelling at my kids. If I go home and I see my neighbors and I'm like talking to them bad. If I go home and I'm not living in love, in purity. If I'm watching porn on the website or think I'm doing things I'm not supposed to be doing. I'm not respecting my parents. I'm not honoring people. My worship is worthless. At work, if I'm having a bad day and I'm just chewing everybody up, and that's why the world out there, they're like, well, we don't want this. We don't. Why should we go to church? You guys divorce as much as we do. You guys don't keep your words as much as we do. Why do I need to go to church? The only difference is you go to church, and I right now I'm sitting in front of the couch watching TV. That's probably what a lot of people are doing right now. But then we got up. We honor the body of Christ. We understand the necessity to come together and celebrate Jesus. You know? So the world out there, they're like, why do I need this? We curse as bad as they do. Huh? We backstab people as bad as they do. And they're like, what? Why? why would I come? You know, this grieves my heart. And I thank God because He is rising His church. So I am inviting you to not look for the numbers. When you come here, don't be like, oh man, we've got so many chairs that are empty. Please, stop it. I tell you, God, maybe open our eyes so we can see the angels that filled up this place. That's what I want. I'm not looking for people. I'm looking to minister to the presence of the Lord because guess what? That's all that matters. You know, and when we minister to the presence of God, this is the house of the Lord. I tell you, God will bring us the people that are hungry for Him. We have nothing else. We have no program to offer to anybody else beside the kingdom. Come and taste. The lady says, hey, come and taste. We just need that one person. That one person that would come, bang, and encounter the presence of God. That person would go home. Be like, come over here. Come here. I have found. The lady said, I have found. I have found the Messiah. And the Bible says, the whole town came. The whole town came. So that's what I'm about. Not looking for the numbers. Not looking for the numbers. So, I tell you again. Appearance of worship is good. Expression of worship is great. And sometimes when the spirit of heaviness comes, the best way to get rid of it. I know some of you, you're not from the Caribbean, so you probably don't have the swing like I do. All right? Me, I hear a beat. I mean, I got it. Okay? Some of you, you might not have it. It's okay. The expression is great. But if my life is not backing the expression, it's worth it. It's worthless. It's worthless. You mean how many pastors, it grieves my heart, how many pastors are in ministry, they're giving out of a dry place, out of dry place. Their life is so dry. And then before you know it, they kill themselves. Oh man, every time that happens, every time I hear that, it grieves me. Because it shouldn't happen. A leader that are called into ministry to influence, their life shouldn't be a scandal. They should be a man and woman of character. Their life should reflect the holiness of God. Singing the name of Jesus while living in sin just brings shame to His name. And we don't want to do that in this church. This is the church of Christ. We sing His praise. We give Him room. We give Him place. I give Him room. In my email last week to you, every time I sent you an email, you can always reply. But if you're not replying, sometimes I'm like, I wonder if they're reading my messages. But please, give me an answer. Because before you know it, I'm like, oh, it's not worth it. And believe me, I never write because I have nothing to do. I write because I sense this is something you need to hear. But I told you in my email, I pledge to follow Jesus, and us follow Him together, we will make it. Because I'm like, when I read 1 Peter, Peter received a revelation, he said, you elders, you pastors, take care of those that have been entrusted under your care. Because I will have to answer for their souls. I'm like, oh, that's scary. That is so scary. It's like, I have to answer for your soul. And then people get into ministry. You can't go to college or to Bible school to go to ministry because, you know what, they say there's a statistic out there that says if you're a pastor, if you did this study, this master, this diploma, you get this amount of money. That's the wrong reason. And that's why the church is going the way it is. That's why the church is not reflecting the value and the culture of the kingdom. Because you've got people that goes into ministry like a plumber, like an electrician. I don't think I would want to be a doctor because it takes too long to make the money. But I think I would, plumbing, yeah? You can make the money very fast if you study discipline enough. Or being an electrician. Or a builder. A good one. A faithful one. Someone that keeps their word. Someone that do good work. But I tell you, if you are in the business of making money in ministry, you're in the wrong business. You're in the wrong business. Because we live by faith. I live by faith. I don't live by the numbers. So once again, singing the name of Christ while living in sin just bring shame to his name. That is why the world, I told you already, they think the church is a joke. But I'll tell you, I am so excited because the church of Christ is not a joke. What we've been doing out there is a joke. You know how much they laugh about the church when they hear a pastor fall into immorality? You know how they laugh about the church when we raise our kids in church and then when they turn to be 18, they leave the church? You're like, huh? How come? Because each person in the church, I raised 3 children, and my kids, they're prophets to the nations. Of course, the world is testing what's in them because the world is very appealing. You know, the world, we talked about it before, everybody wants it right now. Everybody wants a McDonald's relationship. Everything is ready. I'm hungry. I'm ready to eat and eat it right now. But I realize good food takes time to make. Food that are good for you takes time to make. Okay? But food that are like quick to fill up your belly and maybe not nourish your body, it doesn't take time to make it. You know? So, I repeat this over again. I'll tell you. Singing in the name of Jesus while living in sin just brings shame to his name. And I know a lot of people, when we talk about sinning, they make reference to the big sins. Right? Do you have my slide? They make reference to the big sin. Let me ask you a question. Are all sins the same in God's eyes? Think about that. God is holy. The pursuit of holiness involves the acknowledgement of sin and necessity of repentance. Now hold it right there. There's a question for you. Are all sins the same in God's eyes? Amen. You guys are good. Listen to this. Open your Bible so you can put it on the screen. James chapter 2, verse 10. For the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's law. And verse 11 to 12 says, for the same God who says you must not commit adultery also says you must not murder. So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Another question for you. If you break one law, does that make you break all of them? Okay, now we're all set with this. We all agree. If you not agree, maybe see me later. But this, it makes sense, right? I follow all the laws. If I follow all the laws and one day I'm driving down 13 going 75 on a 55, does that make me a lawbreaker? Yes. You see, sometimes people don't get it that way. But let me ask you another question. How many times do I have to break the law for me to become a lawbreaker. That's clear. Only once. Just, man, you guys, did you see my notes? It's amazing. You got the answer right. Once. So there is nowhere in the Bible where it says all sins are the same. It says all sins condemn. Now remember, in my slide I said, talking about holiness makes us aware of sin and the necessity to repent. The Bible is clear. The Bible is clear on how much sin brings condemnation to people. God sees every sin as the same. And the idea of God seeing every sin as the same is not biblical. I did some research this week, and it's amazing how perverted and tortured that is. Let's say, for example, if I spit on someone, that's not nice. But killing someone is really not nice. The consequences are completely different. So each sin in the Bible, in the eye of God, comes with its consequence. There's another verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. It says, don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it with a prostitute? And Paul, under the revelation of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, gives the answer. In your Bible, it says, never! When I read it, I don't read, never. And he didn't say no. It says, never! You don't never do that. The body of Christ. I mean, what an honorable verse right here. This verse is such an honorable verse. My body, I told you earlier, my body is an extension of Jesus' body. So can I be holy? Am I holy? How many holy people we have here? Oh yeah, you're not boasting when you say I'm holy. No, no, you are holy. Don't think, man, I'm not holy. I'm just a poor sinner. You're not a poor sinner. You have been justified by the blood of Jesus. You are righteous in the sight of God. Amen. The Bible says the just may fall 7 times. By the grace of God, he'll get up again. Don't think of yourself, man, I'm just little me. Poor me. No. I've been made right with Christ. That's why I can approach boldly, even when I don't get it. I can approach boldly. I told my kids when they were growing up, I said, and I still tell them, maybe now they're a teenager, they might not do that, but I told them, it doesn't matter. You are always welcome in my presence. It doesn't matter if I'm preaching. If you need me, just be like, That's my kid right there. Guys, excuse me. What do you need, honey? And it happened. I'm in my office. Doors are shut. Don't ever feel ashamed to knock. And please, you don't have to knock. By respect, you should knock. But guess what? You are always welcome in Daddy's presence. And my kids took me to my word. I mean, it's like every time they need me, I'd be in my office. I'd be in the middle of marital counseling. And they showed up. One of them needed me. The moment I see them, they're like, and I said, I tell to the people, give me a minute. Come here. What's going on? What do you need? Yeah. That's how Daddy, our Father, is. We are always welcome in His presence. There's no shame in His presence. There's always peace in His presence. And, you know, it hurts God when He realizes, man, we are acting as orphans because we are always welcome. And He tells us. But Satan wants us to believe. Religion wants us to perform. Religion wants us to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 before you get to God. Believe me, today, Erase that if you had that in your mind. There's nothing. There's no 1, 2, 3. The only thing you need to do is believe in the name of Christ. Believe that he paid the price on the cross. That's the good news. Hallelujah. So you are one with Christ. There's another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. It says, don't you realize that if a man join himself with a prostitute, he become one with her. So you have been bought by the blood of Christ. So Christ indwell in your spirit. His spirit lives within you, within me. I am the temple of the God, of the Holy Spirit. What an honor. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus lives within me. And because he lives within me, I dwell in his word. I abide by his word. Then 2 Corinthians 5:17 comes to life in me on a daily basis. Now, if anyone is in Christ, that person become a new creature. That just didn't happen the day you first confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord. No, it happens daily. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man every day. And I tell you, go home and ask my wife if I'm better this month. She'll tell you yes. Why? Because I give the Holy Spirit chance to work with me. And then when he opens my life, my eyes, to see the things that needs to be changed, I repent. Remember? I want holiness. I want to represent Jesus. I want people when they see me to be like, well, this dude, he's different. Why? He's not religion. He's not religious, but he's different. He's kind. He forgives. He accepts. That's what I want. So therefore, I live by those standards. There's another one. The same chapter, verse 18. It says, run, flee. Now, it says flee from sexual sin. But then I love there's a version I really like. It says, all sin. Flee fornication and every sin that man does. Sin, flee from anything that's every dark deeds. Flee from it. And there's a lot out there. We're not going to make a list. Flee from it. Run from it. You know, Jesus says, if your eye is causing you to enter, not literally. Jesus didn't say, just cut your arm. But I tell you, if the TV is a problem, get rid of it. If the radio, if the news right now is causing you anxiety, turn it off. Now, if your wife is driving you crazy, don't get rid of her. Because I know people take things out of context. You see, God, that's the word of God. It says, if she's being a pain in my butt, guess what? I got to get rid of her. No, please. Fix it. Talk about it. Find someone that can help. Run. There's another verse, the same chapter. Verse 19, it says, don't you realize that your body... Man, from verse 15 to verse 20, it says that 5 times. Don't you realize? Don't you realize your God dwell within you? So therefore, we need to live in holiness. But then, this reference here, I studied it. There's two different ideas here. It talks about God dwells within you, and it talks about God dwells within us as a body. One, as a one body. That's why I was thinking, man, a couple weeks ago, Dan and I and Waxy, I'm not afraid of trying anything, even sometimes it could be scary. But right now I'm like, you know what, I'll try. Dan is, he surfed. So I was like, yeah, let's go. First time we went, you know, I went on the board. That's new movement, you know, you're sitting on the board. He's done it all the time. Yeah, I'm not used to it, so I'm doing it. First couple of times, 5 minutes into it, I'm like, tired. How does he do this? All right, so I went out. Sit for a minute. Now, okay, I'm just going to try it again. Took the board, going back in. Man, I got caught by a wrong wave. And the wave hit the board. The board hit my head and twisted this thumb. The wrong way, guys, this thumb, today I still can't clap. Like right now, it hurts. You know, and yesterday I was pressure washing, I was mowing, I was doing all that. And so today this thumb is very sore, I tell you. But you can't feel it. Guess who feels it? This whole body feels it. So when one of us is hurt, we all hurt. When one of us is not well, we should all feel the unease. And that's the mentality we need. It's not like, well, this person is not well, that's their problem. It's not their problem, it's our problem. That's why when one person falls in sin, and especially a leader, if the pastor, you know, was doing things and all of a sudden, bing, everything comes to light, and then a lot of us are going to feel, man, you betrayed, you've been hurt. Some people might even leave the church. It's normal, but it shouldn't be just for the pastor. It should be for all of us. When one marriage in our congregation is going through turmoils, when one person is going through difficult times, we all should be feeling it, interceding. And I tell you, that's what the world wants out there. This is what the church was meant to be. A body where people get set free. A body where people feel like they belong. You know, there's no, it's not a club. It's not inclusive. It's exclusive. No. Okay, tell me again. It's inclusive, meaning everybody's welcome. That's right. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. Thank you for being gracious with my English. So lastly, my brothers, I'll invite the worship team to come up. There should not be a separation of the holiness of Christ in your daily life. There should not be. Today, I want to invite you to get excited about the holiness of Christ. Man, I get to live holy. That's why you have the screening of the Holy Spirit. You don't need me to tell you when you listen to something you shouldn't, because you've got the Holy Spirit. You don't need me. You don't need the pastor. And I can't do it. I can't be like the little I. Can you imagine if you had a little boy, I always wanted to have some little person on my shoulder. You know, like a little something on your shoulder. Wouldn't that be cute to always have somebody on your shoulder and that know kind of the five steps you're going to take? I tell you, it wouldn't be nice to always have someone whispering in your ear. Physically, literally. No, I can't be that person. But I know you have the Holy Spirit. And as long as you give the Holy Spirit a chance, we will experience His holiness. So therefore, can you imagine as we experience the holiness of Christ, the Holy Spirit will have place in our midst. He'll come and heal us. When we come here, we will experience joy. We will go home changed. You go home today, you're going to have a good day. Because why? The Holy Spirit was here. And I want to finish with this verse, Psalm 103, verse 12. It says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sin deserves, and we pay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, that's as far He has removed our transgression from us." He removes our transgressions from us. So Father, I thank You today for Your word. I thank You, Jesus, that You are sanctifying, purifying Your bride. And we are Your bride. I declare and decree, this church, Lenstown Community Church, is a church that is taking back, we are taking back what the devil has stolen. God, I declare and decree open heaven over this place. I declare and decree growth, maturity, purity, love, acceptance. Father, we are Your church. And as we sing the next song, I would invite you to just open up to the Holy Spirit and receive His nature. His nature is holy. If any of you need prayer, just come up front. and I will minister prayer to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.